Listen, gentlemen, too many of us as men are walking around neutered, as if that's how it's supposed to be. Well, listen, you were quite literally born to attract women, and that's how you should live, breathe, and be. That's why this coming Wednesday, May 31st, the last evening of the month, I'm going to be hosting my monthly masterclass, and the title is Sexual Mastery as a Lifestyle. Yes, gentlemen, this should actually be a habit. You should get into the habit of not only being more masculine and more male, but being more alluring to women simply by being who you are. That is a truth that is lost on far too many men nowadays. And guess what? After this coming Wednesday, you won't be one of them. You'll be naturally attracting women without much effort anymore, simply because you're going to be exuding the sexual presence that you're born to exude as a man. Circle your calendars and grab your tickets at mountaintoppodcast.com/masterclass. Sexual Mastery as a Lifestyle, this coming Wednesday, May 31st at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Don't miss it.
Live from the mist enshrouded mountaintop fortress that is X and Y Communications headquarters, you're listening to the world famous Mountaintop Podcast. And now, here's your host, Scott McKay.
How's it going, gentlemen? Welcome to yet another episode of the world famous Mountaintop Podcast. My name is Scott McKay. That's at Scott McKay on just about every social media platform in the world. We got brand new YouTube videos every Tuesday for you guys nowadays. They are under 2 minutes each, and every one of them handles a major question about dating, relating with women, and actually gives you a right answer for the change instead of the same one everybody's been telling you for, 20 years now that has never worked since the beginning. Real answers that work every Tuesday on YouTube. With me today is a returning guest, and I got to tell you guys, I'm really excited about this show because this is the guy we can ask the questions that nobody else wants to handle. Some of the hottest potatoes in the world of navigating sex and relationships and, well, dealing with women in general. He runs the Center for Respect, and he goes around the country and I guess probably the world as well nowadays, not only talking to high schools and colleges, but corporate environments, teams of salespeople, teams of workers at factories. He's covered it all. He's talked to everybody. And what he talks about is really how to have sexual respect for each other. Now, I know a lot of you guys have been really, I guess in the last couple decades, the fear has really reached a fever pitch that you're going to be dragged into the HR office simply for saying hello to a beautiful woman at work or any woman at work, really. And we covered the whole enthusiastic consent thing on the previous episode that Mike was kind enough to join us on. Today, we're going to talk about sexual respect in general. And fair warning, guys, I want you to hang in there with me until the very end because this show is for you. We don't want to beat you up. We want to empower you. And I think you're going to hear some things you weren't expecting to hear. So you can take your fire suit off and we're going to be here for you. And we includes both myself and my guest, Mike Domish from the Center for Respect. Mike, welcome back, man.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man. I love the work you do. It almost seems like you're a voice crying out in the wilderness. It doesn't seem like you have a whole lot of competition out there, do you? Is it because nobody wants to touch this or you're uniquely qualified or only certain people enough to pretty much fill your schedule are interested in this? What's going on there?
So, yeah, actually, there's a lot of people out there doing the work. The one difference is I've been doing it for 3 decades. And so I've worked with such a variety of audiences. I work with everything from middle school students to high school to universities, U.S. military, and that means from 17-year-olds to 65-year-olds, and to corporate America. And because of that mix, I've seen and heard every question, challenge imaginable that gives me that insight to be able to share with our audiences and others.
Wow. Okay. So we're going to put that to the test today.
Yes.
Right on. It sounds like you're up to the challenge. I love it. And you're a pretty unoffendable guy, which I guess comes with the Center for Respect. If you feel disrespected really easily, then what audience do you have to work with if they have nowhere to go but, you know, up?
Yeah, no, my focus is on being there for the audience. It's not about me.
Oh, yeah, right on. I think we're on the same page. Well, let me go ahead and throw the first question on the table for you. Mike, do we have a respect problem between men and women nowadays, or is it just media hype?
We have a respect problem across culture. It's not just a matter of between men and women. And here's why. For too long, people use the sentence, "You need to earn my respect." Well, the whole problem with that is that's a hierarchy game. That's a power game. I have to do something, Scott, for you to be worthy of respect. That makes no sense with the word respect. That makes sense with words like admire, look up to, trust. Those are words that you earn. I give you respect because you're a human being. And one of the biggest problems is we have people going into relationships, and this could, there could be people listening right now who do this, who think, well, I'm not going to trust them, therefore I'm not going to give them respect till I have a reason to, which makes no sense. You should go into it maybe thinking I don't trust them, and I'm going to treat them with respect. Because nothing good comes out of not treating someone with respect. Nothing ever good comes out of that.
Well, I love that answer. And I think you're right on the money. It makes a lot of sense. What do you think contributed to this state of affairs, Mike? Because it wasn't always like this, was it?
Oh, it actually has been. It's just there wasn't a voice for the other side to be heard. There wasn't a medium for the other side to be heard. And so, you know, and some people are going to take offense to this, but it's just the reality. If you look at what voices were controlling the narrative for hundreds of years, it tended to be one gender. It tended to be men. So you didn't get to hear the other side. It's just, you didn't hear it in media. You didn't hear it in politics. You didn't hear it anywhere. And then what happened is when people started hearing the other side, they started freaking out going, oh no, this is going to take away men's rights. This is going to take away men's. No, we're just equaling the playing field by hearing all the voices. That's all that's happening. There's no threat to men's rights. There's no threat to someone's power. It's just a matter of we're hearing all the voices. That's a good thing. It allows us to all learn about each other. It's a positive.
Yeah, well, you could apply that to race and to nationality and to even faith, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. For so long, we only heard from one faith in this country, right? And then when people heard from others, they started freaking out. No, they're taking away our faith. No, they're not. They're just letting the others be heard. That's all we're talking about.
And also it would apply to sexual orientation.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I think that's all very true. And a lot of times when people's narratives are challenged, they get very defensive and crawl back into their shell. The problem nowadays is, especially in the year 2023, when we're recording this, is we have made a lot of strides towards people feeling more welcome at the table internationally with each other. And what we're realizing, Mike, and you can comment on this if you want, is we're all still human. We all still have the same flaws. We get angry the same way. We have the same desire for money, sex, love, and power. And a lot of times once we're given that seat at the table, no matter who we are, there are certain people who are going to be grateful and still want to make the world a better place, and other people who just want to, well, for lack of a better word, get revenge and still be angry. Nowadays, it just seems like the climate has changed such that a lot of people are confused. People want to talk about what they are instead of who they are and expect other people to give them either more respect, even as they're not offering respect in return, not because of the content of their character, but because of something else. And what I hear you saying is level playing field. We should all respect each other, even if we don't understand each other or even know much about each other yet. The baseline has got to be respect, or we're just going to have mayhem socially.
Yeah. And something. And so it is coming down to how do I treat someone? People, right, when they think of respect, they think I give or I earn. And I brought that up earlier, but it's just simply, how do I treat? Am I going to treat you with respect? If I treat you with respect, here's how I do that. I lead with curiosity and not judgment. If I lead with judgment, I'm probably not treating you with respect because I think I'm right, or I have to prove I'm right, or I have to prove you're wrong, versus, that's interesting. And I want to seek curiosity to try to learn more about you. And therefore, I'm coming from a place of learning versus proving.
Yeah, I think that's a good word. And I think it's self-explanatory, and you nailed it. The question that comes to mind from there is, Mike, what do we do either socially or professionally, or even when we're out with a woman, when we just don't feel respected? This person has no interest in respecting us. Do we need to, in fact, try to earn that respect? I think I know what your answer is. I kind of see it coming. But what do? Just walk away and cut that person off, or what's our obligation there?
There's nothing wrong with putting up our force field when it's not a healthy situation.
Yeah.
And so anytime that you're with somebody who can just tell, you feel it, you vibe it, they're saying it, that they are putting negative energy into your world and you have an ability to put up a force field, put it up. I mean, there are times, and that might be more difficult to do, right? In a workplace, that might be your boss. And so you might think, well, I'm going to lose my job and I'm not in a financial place to be able to do that. People love to say, well, just go get another job. Well, that comes from a place where you feel secure in your job or your abilities when you make a statement like that. Not everybody feels that way. And so considering that you have the ability to put up your force field, put it up. You do absorb the energy of the people around you. That's just a fact. Anybody who's ever been in a family knows that if somebody comes home in a bad mood, suddenly everybody can be in a bad mood within an hour. It happens because we absorb. So we want to be careful of absorbing this toxic energy around us. And therefore, if I'm with somebody who's not treating me with respect, especially on a date, like you're giving an example,
right?
End the date. Just say, look, this doesn't feel like it's going well. Let's not, you know, I don't want to waste your time or my time. Let's call it a night. I appreciate you giving it a shot. I gave it a shot. Let's call it a night. There's no reason to stay on a date that isn't going well.
Well, this whole house of cards we're calling respect seems like it has to be built on a foundation of self-respect. If we don't have respect for ourselves, then all bets are off, right?
It definitely makes it harder to understand even treating others with respect if you don't understand what it means to respect yourself. Yes.
Yeah.
And so to respect yourself means to see yourself as valuable, to see yourself as worthy. Now, here's the key most people make the mistake on, Scott, is this. We'll say, see yourself as a 10, which is true, and see everyone else as a 10. That's what respect looks like. What a lot of people do is they'll go, I see myself as a 10. I just can't stand the 6, the 7s, and the 5s around me. Okay, now that's arrogance. That's not respect and confidence. There's a huge difference. One means I think I'm above people versus I think I'm one of the people. And so that's a big, big difference. And so we go, yeah, but they're doing this wrong and that wrong. Yeah, we're all doing things wrong. That doesn't mean you're still not worthy of being treated like a 10. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody's doing wrongful things in some way and fashion. Might not be eating the right food. Might not be thinking highly enough about themselves. That's not a reason to not treat yourself like a 10. That's called the human experience. You know, we're perfectly imperfect. And so the problem is people get on a date and their partner across from them isn't perfect. And they start to go see all the flaws and they go, well, I'm not going to treat them like a 10 anymore. Instead of going, well, they're still a 10. I'm just seeing their flaws. Curious what flaws of mine they're seeing, right? Wouldn't that be a more curious place to look at? But once again, if it's unhealthy, if it's, you're not enjoying yourself, it's not a good match. If it's not a mix of values, like a good alignment of values, call the date. Like it is known that people who don't align in values don't normally work out. So you're normally looking for somebody who's going to align with your values. You can have a lot of different interests. But if your values typically aren't founded similarly, it's going to be a difficult relationship.
That's so true. But she's so hot, I have to go out on a second date, right?
Yeah, which tells us it's her. She's not the problem if that's how you're talking.
I agree.
Right. You know, yeah. So if that's how you're talking, she's so hot. You only value appearance and sexual objectification in theory, if that's the statement. Like that's the only thing that matters in that person. Well, first of all, why are you surprise this person isn't treating you like this incredible being if you're only seeing them as a sex object.
Oh, man. That is such a mic drop for anybody who consumed pickup artist content 15 years ago.
Oh, that stuff drives me nuts.
Oh, man. Just this morning, I had to endure in the year 2023 an entire article about how tens are reserved for rock stars and they've been trained, women here, right? Women who are tens out of tens are trained just to have horrible personalities and be entitled and blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking to myself, look, if she's gorgeous, but awful otherwise, how is it that she's a 10? And yet what's going on here is guys are sexually objectifying women as tens based on their looks and their sex appeal alone. And then like you just so successfully and eloquently stated, Mike, they're all surprised when this woman's behavior is entitled and selfish and terrible. I mean, we've created these monsters by valuing women based solely on looks. And then we're surprised when they don't treat us with any respect in return. And they're a little bitter about it.
And by the way, to be fair, there are men who look great who have all the same flaws.
Yes. No question. No question.
Yeah.
Most of those guys aren't listening to this show, but I agree.
Right. So here's the thing that I always tell people. I'll meet someone, they go, Mike, you don't know me. I've got game. And when someone says that to me, Scott, I say, well, I'm sorry you need it. And they're like, what do you mean? Well, if you've got game, what you're telling me is who you are isn't good enough. So you have to play a game to get what you want.
Right. Yeah.
You don't play games to get what you want. You be yourself to see if they're a right match. That's all this is. Is this right. a good match? Some are not going to be a good match. Some are going to be a great match. A great match is going to be harder to find than a good match. It's just a matching experience. That's all it is. Take the pressure off. I'm going out tonight to see if this is a match. Maybe after day one, it appears like one, but maybe after 2 months, it's not a match. That's okay. That's what we're here to explore. That's the curiosity. The problem is, how dare they? That mentality. How dare they say that? How dare they talk? What do you mean? They're a human being. They have freedom of speech just like you do.
You know, several things to talk about here before we steer the conversation back around to respect, because all of this is important. But I got to tell you, it has always been ironic to me that the concept of being successful at charming and seducing women has been called having game. Cause I agree with you 1,000%. It's a game is not reality. I mean, if you're authentically sexually attractive to women in the way they like to be sexually attracted, it's not only respectful, it's natural, and there's no game playing. I love it.
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing real quickly before we move on. A game is based on a winner and a loser too.
Oh yeah, no question.
So if you're playing a game, someone's losing it, and it might be you.
You know, men are pre-wired for competition, and we just completely overlook the fact that women generally aren't.
Well, not only that, but there are, even if a woman or a man is set for competition, it's not how you build a relationship.
No.
You know, if you're in a relationship competing with each other, ouch, that's not going to be full of joy.
Yeah, that reminds me of the whole concept of stop chasing women and make them chase you instead. I mean, that implies a winner and a loser. Someone's got the upper hand, someone's got the lower hand. Why can't we just choose each other? That's what my wife and I did. It works out great.
100% correct.
Yeah, yeah. So you were talking about this idea of arrogance earlier, which is a hot button for me. Arrogance is often confused with extreme confidence. Extreme confidence can be very charming, even charismatic, but this idea of arrogance is correctly defined as an attitude that I'm better than you, which implies lack of respect for someone else, even though they're trying to lord respect. They're trying to demand or even command respect from other people. This leads, of course, to that entitlement mentality that you're talking about. And I know your wheelhouse is consent and men and women getting together for all the right reasons and none of the wrong, coercive, ugly reasons. That word entitlement plays a huge role in this whole conversation. And I want to ask you a very specific question, okay? Jordan Peterson was on video and got, you know, hundreds of thousands of views answering a young woman in a collegiate environment about basically why sex has been cheapened so much nowadays. How did we get to a Me Too problem? And he said that cheap and effective birth control is what has cheapened sex, because now sex has very little consequence. At least in the 60s and 70s, it didn't. And people were like, man, let's party, is the way he put it. And then AIDS came around, which was kind of a bump in the road. But now, as we all know, slowly but surely, AIDS is not a death sentence anymore. It's treatable. So once again, people are mashing the accelerator pedal on easy and cheap sex with the hookup culture and everything involved with it. And Jordan Peterson said something very interesting. He said this has created an entitlement mentality towards procuring this easy and cheap sex. Like, hey, honey, what's your problem? Don't you want to go have sex? It feels good. And he indeed saw that as a problem. What say you about that social progression? Would you have anything to add to that conversation, or you disagree with it completely? Because I genuinely would love to hear your take.
Yeah, I saw it, the clip you're talking about.
Yeah.
So I know exactly what you're referring to. And I think it's too simplistic, is what I think. Look, there are people who, for the history of time, have enjoyed sex as sex. And we're not having sex to be in a monogamous relationship. This is nothing new. Nothing new at all. What's interesting is that what has changed over the last few decades is that this is not a dominated as much as it was in the past by one gender. That's the difference. Now all genders have the ability to pursue what they want sexually. Now, with that, is there going to come extremely unhealthy and dangerous choices that people will make with freedom? Yep. Just like you said earlier, when people get into opportunities they didn't have previously, some are going to stretch to the extremes. And can there be ramifications of that? Yes, there can be. But we have to be very careful is implying because some people feel very comfortable with their sexuality and are having sex more often with more people than the traditional approach to sexual relationships, that somehow that's evil or we should view them as less. It's just a different sexual viewpoint. That's all. What I care about is it consensual? And are they pursuing mutually amazing experiences? If they're doing those two things, I'm only going to choose to have sex when I want to have a mutually amazing experience with another person, and it's going to be consensual, and we both absolutely want this to occur. It's not my place to judge what they're doing. That's up to them. And how they do it and what they do, up to them. That has nothing to do with my world. And this goes back to what we were talking about earlier, Scott, which is people thinking, well, my way of viewing sex, my way of viewing faith, my way is the way the world should be judged. Versus my way is my choice and their way is their choice. And that's what freedom looks like.
I think that's absolutely perfectly said. And yet there are people out there who are subscribing to either a political narrative or a social narrative as if it's the new religious dogma and basically doing their nouveau version of Bible thumping on people who disagree with them. And a lot of times the roles are reversed. It's like, oh, you're a Christian and you don't believe I should be having sex this way. Well, you're an evil, terrorist, horrible person and I'm going to cancel you. So yeah, I mean, I love your take on it because, you know, first of all, let's acknowledge that a 7-minute soundbite isn't going to be anything other than simplistic. This is too deep an issue.
That's correct.
Books could be written about to distill it down to that, but it's still an interesting take. And I think your response to it really does speak to how we all, if we say we're going to be tolerant, need to really believe that and act on it instead of I'm going to be tolerant unless I disagree with you and then you're awful and we need to cancel you.
Yeah. And on the serious side of this conversation, to imply that the ramifications are not as serious because of birth control leaves out the whole realm of sexual violence that continues to occur at pretty consistent levels since the time of birth control.
I would agree with you.
What's wrong with that statement is it implies it tends to be what somebody would call, I hate the word privilege, but it does seem to come from a place of somebody who's blind to the ramifications of other genders. Because there's still a risk, if you look at the numbers, you look at percentages, statistics, all genders can be sexually assaulted. We know that at a higher percentage, women experience that. So the ramifications of that, when you choose to be sexually active, that somebody could do harm against you when you want to have a positive experience, somebody could violate you and go against your will, that's a very serious ramification that has not gone down.
That's bigger than birth control.
Yeah, and that has not gone down since birth control. So it'd be different if we said, here was birth control. Now everybody's out there having safe, consensual experiences, and here's the ramifications of that. But his comment implied there are no ramifications anymore. When there are, there's still lots of ramifications of people not treating each other sexually respectful.
You know, in that same conversation, he did, to his credit, okay, and I'm on the fence about Jordan Peterson for the guys who are listening. I don't talk about him a lot, but I don't avoid talking about him either.
Oh, I think he, by the way, I think he has some great stuff.
Yeah, well, he says things that are honest, at least.
True of all of us. All of us experts have stuff that's great. It doesn't mean that everybody's going to agree with everything we say, right?
That's exactly
so that's
right.
Part of the mistake people make. Oh, because I'm an expert, everybody has to agree with me. Anybody who understands their topic understands there's room for other experiences and beliefs and realities for people.
Indeed, 100%. We're on the same page, of course. Also in that context was brought up the idea of over half of sexual infractions take place under the influence of alcohol or drugs. So what do you tell people about laying off the sauce?
Yeah, that was the part that actually concerned me more, was that statement. Because what that's referring to is of reported sexual assaults. What people don't look at is the non-alcohol involved cases almost never get reported. So here's what I mean by that. A high schooler is with another high schooler. The one's pressuring the other one into sex. There's no alcohol involved. And they keep pressuring, they keep pressuring, they keep pressuring until the person says yes. Now, that's not by any means should be considered consensual because they said no multiple times. They only need to say no once. This person kept coercing to the point of where they got scared, whatever reason, they said yes after having said no multiple times, right? There was no alcohol involved. Because there's no alcohol involved, it's less likely to get reported. Because they'll say to themselves, well, I chose to say yes, I wasn't drunk, I wasn't. So one of the biggest mistakes people make around this topic is bringing up that when sexual assault happens, alcohol is always involved. Look, there is a lot of alcohol-related sexual assault. There's no denying that. It's absolutely true. And there's a lot of non-alcohol related, and here's a proof of it. Even in the number he gave, he said just over 50%, which means it's almost half and half in the old numbers he referred to.
Yeah, 100%. I completely believe that people can be very manipulative trying to get what they want until they get to yes. You know, there are sales books written on this premise. You know what I mean? And it's manipulative, and buyer's remorse is a thing, you know?
Yeah, and for everybody listening, this is huge. If your partner says no, that should be the end. You shouldn't even ask why. Because when you ask why, it implies their no wasn't enough of an answer and they need to give you a reason. They don't. If someone says no to you, here's the answer for you to use the rest of your life. Thank you so much for letting me know. I wouldn't want to do anything if you didn't want it in the first place.
I think that's fair. My next question will come right on the heels of that. A lot of times, Mike, we talk about the idea of enthusiastic consent in the context of a man trying to get consent from a woman, you know, like, baby, it's cold outside, right? What about enthusiastic consent as it relates to us as heterosexual men? And let me give you some context here. I've actually personally heard several stories from men, you know, I have a long tenure at this, 17 years, so I basically heard it all multiple times at this point, who have decided right in the moments of imminent sexual activity, maybe not. Maybe the woman gets naked and he's turned off physically, whatever it is. Maybe she did something that really caused him to think maybe she's not all there mentally and I better not get involved with this. But they decide somewhere pretty close to the heat of the moment that they don't really want to grant consent for this sexual act to happen, even though the woman is ready to go. And a lot of guys have felt guilted into going through it anyway, even though really they weren't even interested anymore because they didn't want to devastate the woman's self-esteem by admitting that she wasn't so attractive to him anymore. What about us as guys? Can we revoke consent also? And in a tricky situation like that, how would you do so in a way that still respects the woman who's literally standing there naked and vulnerable before you?
Yeah. So here's the interesting part of this question. Whether it's a middle school, a high school, or 45-year-olds, I say, do people say yes to sexual activity they don't want to have? And every audience says all the time, Scott. So they're being asked, no pressure, no coercion, and they say yes to something they don't want to have, exactly what you're describing. And I say, what's the number one reason? And every age group gives the same reason. I don't want to disappoint the other person.
Right.
I don't want to hurt their feelings. So the reason is the same for everybody, ironically. Now, here's the cool part about this. You don't owe them. And this is the problem that a lot of people have in their heads. And as heterosexual men, they could have been taught this. You're always supposed to want it. Always. And which is a lie. That's not how the human body works. That's not how the human mind works. It just doesn't work that way. There is nothing wrong with removing consent. All right. You don't reverse it. You're not able to say what I gave you consent 10 minutes ago. No longer was that consent the last 10 minutes. That's called. No, you can't do that. Well, you can remove it. So, hey, do you want to have sex? They said yes. And then they start taking the clothes off. And maybe your mind just goes somewhere else. Anxiety shows up. There's a million reasons this can happen. By the way, if any man's old enough, you have the wrong meal that night. It's not going to happen. Right. So it just depends on your age.
Too much whiskey. Yeah.
Right. Right. And so it all depends on that. There's nothing wrong with saying to the partner, you know what? This isn't going to happen tonight because I'm just not able to, or whatever. You don't even have to give a reason. Just say something's, I'm just not up for this. Now that's no pun intended. But there's
maybe
nothing wrong
with
just being honest and calling it out and saying, and if you want to apologize, you can. I don't believe you owe an apology when you change your mind with sex. I think it's actually a dangerous thing to start by saying, I'm sorry, because that implies you owe it again. You always have the right to say stop or no. Anybody does. So all you do is you go, you know, I want to let you know right now before this goes any further. Since I said yes, the situation's changed and I'm not up for this. And I hope you respect that, you know. And so you can choose your words how you want them to be so that you feel comfortable with your words. I'm not going to tell you exactly what to say. But what I want you to know is don't feel shame or guilt. There's a lot of that, especially on men who think they always have to perform.
Yeah, yeah. Another real hot potato nowadays is with the rise of trans rights and certainly the visibility of the trans population, a lot of men are feeling pressured to date trans women. And when they say, well, really, that's not my thing, a lot of guys are being argued with or even canceled. Aren't you heterosexual? Well, she's all a woman. She's a real woman. What's your problem? And unfortunately, a lot of guys cling to a faith-based solution, like, well, you know, my Bible says I shouldn't be gay, and that makes me gay because that's really a dude. And I think they're missing the point, Mike. I think this is a matter of differentiating between sexual orientation as compared to sexual preference. And I think that's how you can have a respectful conversation about this. You may disagree, but I wanted to give the context there because I've seen guys feeling cornered into accepting maybe they should go out and try having sex with people who have penises instead of vaginas. My question to you from a respect perspective is, what's the difference between being transphobic, which a lot of these guys are being accused of, even publicly on podcasts and the media and so forth, versus asserting a sexual preference for having sex with people with vaginas? Doesn't the nature versus choice / social influence argument have to be consistent for everyone? I mean, for years, the LGBTQ community was like, hey, don't try to retrain us. We were born this way. Aren't we as heterosexual men entitled to prefer having sex with women with vaginas?
I think what is happening in those situations that you're referring to is what's getting chopped back at, what's getting snapped back at, is the idea that no men who are heterosexuals should. And those statements, an individual guy making an individual choice for his preferences is the same as an individual woman doing that or non-binary person doing that. Yeah, you have the right to make a choice of who you want to date or don't date, as long as you're not doing this. And that's evil, right? It goes back to what we said earlier. Don't make your choices everybody else's choices. That's when people kick back. That's when society tends to kick back, when somebody goes, well, I would never do that. And they do it from a judgmental place of like, it's wrong, it's evil. And then people go, what's your problem there? And that's when it starts happening. Versus, hey, just me personally, not my preference, but I see nothing wrong with other people's preferences, you know, or choices.
Well, that's the way it should be. So I think we have a right to stand up for it. And I think the best way to debate that in a friendly, effective way isn't with ad hominem, but really use their own narrative that they use themselves in the way I described. Yeah.
Look, people are attracted to all different body shape sizes, all different, as far as personality quirks, all different things. Right. And so it's just a matter of not knocking out a group because of your personal preferences. That's all.
That has to be okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Last question. And this is a sticky one. I know I've dealt with this one. Let's talk about pronouns, because that's important nowadays for a lot of people. There are situations, Mike, where we want to be respectful and we encounter someone who appears to us to be non-binary. How do we respectfully ask someone their pronouns, knowing that they may not be intentionally appearing non-binary and may be offended or feel disrespected because we even asked them? How do we go about that? How do we figure it out? It's the pet problem from Saturday Night Live, right?
Yeah, quick, easy answer. You start with yours, because then it tells them where you're coming from. So I do this. Hi, Scott. My name is Mike. My pronouns are he and him. What are yours? See, by doing that, I'm not going, hey, Scott, what are your pronouns?
Right. By doing that, what do you mean? What are my pronouns? What the hell's wrong with you? Yeah.
But I'm not aware myself.
Yeah. Well, I think for a lot of people, that's going to involve some humility, because the whole pronoun thing has become so politicized that, like, Democrats do this and Republicans will never. It's almost like uttering a blasphemy to even talk about pronouns. But if we're going to be respectful.
Yeah. Watch. Hey, Paul, it's been great being on your show today. What? Now, your name's not Paul.
Okay.
Exactly. Would that irritate you if at the end I did that? For a lot of people, it'd be like, did he just call me Paul? What's that about? After an hour of talking with me? Because nobody wants to be referred to as something they don't see themselves as. So that's all. That's what we're talking about here. Look, we all have nicknames from childhood, not all of us, but a lot of us, that we don't like, that somebody once used and we're like, I could go without that the rest of my life, right? Exactly. Because we don't like that reference. And so that's all a person's pronouns are, is can you recognize me for how I'd like to be recognized? That's all it is.
I agree. That's the correct answer. And it's very, very cut and dried. It's not complicated. It's just that we have to get over ourselves to accept that's the answer.
Right.
His name is Mike Domish, and he is the head honcho over at the Center for Respect. And when you go to mountaintoppodcast.com/respect, you will be magically teleported to his site, which is centerforrespect.com. There you will find a lot of video of Mike doing his thing before audiences. You'll be able to read just about anything on any subject having to do with sexual respect or even respecting each other in general there. It's a great site. You guys should go check it out. mountaintoppodcast.com/respect. Mike Domish, thank you so much for coming back on this show and indeed fielding some pretty tricky questions, man. Salute.
Well, thank you, Scott, for having me back on and having these important conversations.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. And I think it's really been very helpful and productive for these guys. At least I trust it has been. Gentlemen, if you haven't been to mountaintoppodcast.com lately, check out the masterclasses. You got to get in on it. Also, the new YouTube videos are up every Tuesday, like I said at the outset of this show. Please visit our sponsors, which include Origin in Maine, Hero Soap, and also last but certainly not least, thekeyport.com. Use the coupon code MOUNTAIN10 with any of our fine sponsors for an additional 10% off at checkout. And also, guys, some of you still need to talk to me about where you are right now, where you want to be in your lives and in your relationships with women. I'm here for you. I'm exactly who you think I'm going to be. Get on my calendar at mountaintoppodcast.com and let's talk for 25 minutes. Won't cost you a dime. And until I talk to you again real soon, this is Scott McKay from X and Y Communications in San Antonio, Texas. Be good out there.
The Mountaintop Podcast is produced by X and Y Communications. All rights reserved worldwide. Be sure to visit www.mountaintoppodcast.com for show notes. And while you're there, sign up for the free X and Y Communications newsletter for men. This is Ed Roy Odom speaking for the Mountaintop Podcast.